You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
So I don't know if it's fear that maybe I'll have to stop on my way home and meet with that guy on the corner. I don't know if it's fear that I would have to give up my job and the income that it brings into my family, and then as a result, it would possibly lead to my kids not getting the education I want them to get, or I wouldn't be able to throw the wedding that I would want to give them. I don't even know if it's a fear that that I would have to sell my home and my dog and my car, and that God would call me and my family to another part of the world, and I would be called to some obscure ministry or some obscure vision or some obscure calling. I don't know if it's fear that it would put my family in harm's way. I don't even know if it's a fear that it would just put me in harm's way. I don't know if I've chosen not to put my trust in it at all times because I'm afraid maybe I would open this book up and it would convict me of things I don't want to be convicted of yet. I don't know if it's simply just a fear that I would have to be known and that you would get to know me, the dark things about me, the fact that I can deal with anxiety or that I can deal with anger. I don't know if it's a fear that I'd have to come up to you and say I'm sorry. I don't even know if it's a fear that I would have to let you off the hook for how you hurt me and let you down. Because I don't want to let you down because you hurt me and I've got you right here and I've got you right where I want you. I don't know if it's a fear that I wouldn't be able to get up here on a Sunday morning and just give the message I want to give. I don't know if I have chosen at times to not let the Spirit bind me, literally captivate me, literally enslave me, because maybe I fear that He wouldn't give me the life that I want. That I wouldn't get to have the day-to-day life that I like. I like the life that I live. I like the house that I live in. I like my family. I like my community. I like my dog a lot. I like being able to go play golf when I want to play golf. I don't know where the fear comes from. And I don't even know if it's fear. I just know that I don't always surrender myself to the Spirit of God that lives within me. And it's easy for me to thank God when He gives me great things or when I see a rainbow or when He provides a new job or when my kids are healthy or when things are going well. I can praise His name better than most. And it's easy for me to admit that He saved me from hell. That I am no longer defined by my sin and that He has freed me from all that comes with the bondage of my own sin. I can believe that all in. I can even believe that He loves me unconditionally. That even when I screw up, that He's there with His arm around me. I can believe that every second of every day at times, it feels like. But you ask me to follow You and Your Spirit, and You ask me to surrender myself to You, and You promise life, and you promise freedom, and you promise health, and you promise maturity, and I pull a LeBron James, I stuff it, right? Or I do this number, or I run in the opposite direction, and I don't know why I do it. And I know if I do that, I know if I go there, we go there. Unless your name is Bill Foles, the rest of us go there.
I do the best.
Let me pray for us. God in heaven. Whew. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am sometimes, God, and I don't know what to do with that. God, you put your son, you allowed your son up onto the cross so that he could hang there and say, God, I commit my spirit to you. Do with it as you will. And then he claimed it was finished. God, you did that. And as a result, you put your spirit in us. My prayer today, I'm begging you, God, today, would you remind us again, would you awaken that spirit within us again, that we would choose it, that we would choose to take our blinders off, that we would choose to take our earmuffs off, that we would choose to focus our gaze, and that the eyes of our heart would literally be open to what your spirit is calling, to what your spirit is asking and guiding and leading and giving. God, we need you. This world needs you through us. And God, we run in the opposite direction sometimes of your life-giving spirit today. Today, my God, would you open our eyes again to the gift of your spirit that is the greatest gift known to man? Would you wake us back up again to that? We give you this morning and we give you this church. In your son's name, amen. Well, good morning. Cat's out of the bag. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week, if you were here, we were in Acts 20, kind of 17 to the end of the chapter. We're going to go right back to the same spot. And if you were here last week, we dealt on a word called faithfulness. And we used the character, the person of Paul to teach us about faithfulness. And it was also an invitation for us to say, okay, God, you've given me this gift of faithfulness. You must be calling me to be faithful to something. And it was a beautiful morning of us getting to go and take communion and give to God our faithfulness and to say, God, here's what I believe you've called me to be faithful to, and I'm going to choose that. I'm going to take that off the shelf and I'm going to put it on. I was with Chris Keck last night, and if you don't see him right now, you need to see him. He cut his hair for Halloween, and it's... So after I got over the hair and I could begin to trust him again, he said something really profound about last week. And so I just say, go listen to it if you weren't here. But he said, last week, it was like we took this faithfulness, and it was like a piece of art, like a statue. And we got to use scripture, and we got to use the character of Paul to be able to walk around this word faithfulness and see it for what it was and from every angle. And I thought that was profound. And that's what we got to do last week. We're going to go right back into Acts 20, 17 through the end of the chapter, but this time we're going to really just pull out a couple sentences. And so if you've got your Bible, please open it there, and let me read to you where we're going to spend pretty much our whole time today. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among who I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Bound by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what awaits me there, other than the Holy Spirit has told me that bonds and affliction await me. Let's go. Like, I don't even know if this is appropriate for church, but I like want to call out BS. I'm like, there's no way, right? There's no way that you could really say that. Like, I can't say that. I consider my life as any account dear to myself, that I may finish the ministry which has been given to me by the Lord Jesus, that I would solemnly testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I want to be able to say that. I want to be able to live that. I want to be able to believe that. I want to be able to have my life look like that. You guys don't have the luxury that I do. I get to watch Disney movies often. Some of you have that luxury. And my wife was sitting with my kids watching a little short film made by Disney, and she called me in and she said, "You got to see this. I think with where you're going with your message, this might be huge." So there's two characters in this little short film, and I want you to kind of focus in on the contrast of who they are. I think it's going to give us a great picture into where we're going for the rest of the morning. So enjoy. I feel like for me, and I think for all of us, those of us that have chosen to put our trust in Jesus and that we have his Spirit indwelling us, it's like at times in life, he gives us these little snapshots, right, of what life could be. He gives us these little visions of, hey, here's what I have for you. Here's what I'm calling you to. Here's what I'm awakening your spirit to. And if you're like me, which I think some of you might be, you then go, okay, I got it. I see what we're about. I see what we're doing. And then you go try to do it yourself, right? And it's like, no, I got this. And you're going. And it's right. And you're going for the right thing. And you start trying to get the paper airplanes to go. And it's not working. And you go, doggone it. I thought this was from you. I thought you gave me this picture into what my life was going to look like and what it was going to feel like and taste like, and I'm doing it. At least I'm trying to do it. And I keep missing, and I don't get it. And God, where the heck are you? I thought we were in this together. And then I get frustrated, and I get annoyed, and he goes, no, look, I'm still here, look, this is what we've got, this is what we're going to do together, and I go, yeah, I'm not getting duped again. I already tried that, and it didn't really pan out the first time. And sometimes he has to grab us until he gets us to that place where he can show us, and he can go, no, look, here's what I have for you. Do you believe me? Here's the life I have for you. Do you believe me? And the contrasting character is how I want my life to look. She gets to enjoy, experience. She gets to smell the roses, and she's expectant. She's going, wake back up. I know you're still doing something. I know you have something for me. This is magical. This is unbelievable. This next part's going to sting a little bit. For all of us that have put our trust in Jesus, we have those mountaintop experiences. We go off to a camp and it's unbelievable. Or we go to a retreat with our spouse and it's unbelievable. Or we come on a Sunday morning and it's life-giving. And for a little bit, it feels like the fog lifts, right? And it feels like you can see clearly this character of God and what it looks like in your life, and you're all in and you're fired up and you're excited, and it's giving about you this incredible life-giving feeling of, I'm in this with God together. And I'm going to say something. It wasn't about the camp. It wasn't about the Sunday morning. Sure, God can use whatever the heck he wants to use to get to you, but it wasn't about the camp. It wasn't about the Sunday morning. It wasn't about the retreat. It was about you and me choosing to say, God, I am going to make space for your spirit to come in and invade my life. God, I'm going to choose to take the earmuffs off and hear the voice of love calling my name. That's on us. He's given to us the greatest gift ever imagined, his spirit. And so often, like 94.7% of the time, I choose to run in the opposite direction of it. Even when it's tugging at me, I'm still like, get off of me. Here's where I'm going. Why the heck do we do it? Jesus himself makes this claim. How crazy is this? Jesus himself makes this claim. It is better. Here, I got to read. This is awesome. I'm not going to read it. He says this. It's in John 15. I couldn't get there fast enough. I was losing my audience. He says this. It is better that I leave. It is better that I depart. Jason shared this with us about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It is better that I leave so that the helper, my comforter, may show up. We don't believe that. I guarantee you, if someone came up to me today and said, okay, here's your choice. You can go have lunch with Jesus for 45 minutes in Colorado tomorrow, or you get the Spirit living within you. I'm on a plane to Colorado tomorrow. For sure. Like, Jesus, are you kidding me? I get to spend 45 minutes with Jesus? If someone said to me, Jesus would like to have a 15-minute conversation with you in Japan in about 3 days from now, I'm finding a way to get into a packing crate and get myself over there. For 15 minutes with Jesus, I would probably choose that. And Jesus himself says this, it is better for you that I leave and that you are now having my spirit dwelling within you. Really? How crazy is that? How crazy is that? And so we look at Paul, and I'm going, Paul, you figured it out. You figured it out. Paul didn't have the teachings as much as we do now. We have a lot of knowledge, right? We can fill ourselves up with truth and principle and understanding, and we get a picture into both the Old Testament and the New Testament and Jesus. Paul primarily had the Spirit indwelling him. Primarily. Sure, he had some teachings of Jesus and he had the Old Testament. Primarily, he was being led not by this, not by principle, not by theology. He was being led to do miraculous things to change the course of Christianity through this, his heart, his spirit. You guys, it's on us. You see, the Spirit does not take a sabbatical. It does not take a time out. Just now he's got your life all right. You've got a good job and a good house and a good marriage and this. I'm going to go hang out with, you know, so-and-so. He's not doing so well. He doesn't do that. He's with you always. Paul writes it this way in Romans. You've heard it 1,000 times. Romans 8:38. For I am convinced of this, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything other created thing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus your Lord. And look what he says earlier in Romans 5. This is crazy. This is awesome. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring us about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, listen for it, because the love of God, the very love of God, has been poured out on to us within our hearts through his Holy Spirit given to us. You guys, the love of God that will never leave you nor forsake you, has been poured out from God to you through his Spirit. You have that dwelling within you. I don't have a formula today. I don't have a fancy verse that allows this to maybe shake you loose or shake me loose, or I don't even understand why I do the things that I do sometimes. But I'm beginning to believe that if I do call on his name, if I do wake up and I say, God, what do you have for me this day? God, what do you have for my life this week? I believe he is faithful to be there in response. I believe that his character is proven time and time again. I can see his character has been proven time and time again, that he will be faithful to meet me. That's on us. You have been given an incredible gift. An incredible gift. And this is the crazy part to me. I think Paul had it figured out. He writes this, or he prays this over. Right now, where we're at in Acts 20, he's meeting with the Ephesian leaders, is who he's meeting with. As he's with them, and he says that statement, I don't account for my life anything other than I may finish this course. He also prays this over them. I don't know if he prays it then or later, just it's written in his letter to them. But he says this, for this reason, I bow on my knees before the Father, from whom every family and on heaven derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by the power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, he poured out his love through the Holy Spirit for us, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly upon all we could ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory. You see, he has a life for all of us that have chosen his name that is far beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine. And yet, oftentimes, I don't believe it. I don't believe that he actually has a life that great for me. I believe I can manufacture my way, my life, I can do it. And the truth is, I have no clue. If you had Paul standing here with me today, and I reminded him of all the pain and all the suffering and all the stoning and all the this and the that, and him watching his friends be stoned and the persecution and the mockery and the swearing of his name and people chasing him out of city trying to kill him, he would say to you with confidence and clearly and quickly, I have the best life. Amen. Without a doubt, he would say that to you. He says it all over his in here. In Philippians, he says this. There it is. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But whatever things that were gained to me through those things, I count it as a loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things as a loss in the view of the surpassing knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And you know what else he says? I am confident of this. The very thing that he began in you, he will perfect in you. Paul says that. This guy that right now is like this, bound by the Spirit to go to his death, has the courage to tell you, I've had the best life. My life has mattered. My life, it was worth it. Every bit of it was worth it. And the secret, this is what he did. He listened. He listened to the voice of love that indwelled him, that was given to him as a gift from the God of the universe. Jesus hangs on the cross and he says this, God, I commit my spirit to you. I hand my spirit over to you, my Father. It is finished. And in that moment, the veil was torn. The very sacred holy of holies we now were given access to. People couldn't even go in there without dying. And it's now yours. It dwells within you. The very glory of God dwells within you, and it's yours at all time to access. It's on us. Looks like this. God, I surrender to you. God, I come under you. I trust that what your book says and your word says is true. And I believe that no matter the outcome, you have the best life for me. And I don't know what it'll look like. I don't know what it'll taste like. I don't know what it'll feel like. I don't know where I'll be next week. But I know it's the best life. And God, I want you to bind me up by your Spirit. I want you to constrain my heart to know nothing other than what your Spirit is calling me. I want to be fully surrendered to your Spirit within me because it promises life. I came so that you may have life, right? Abundantly. It was for freedom's sake that you have been set free. You see, the trick here, the neat thing is, he says, I'm bound by the Spirit. You know what he's saying? I have been set free. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am no longer a slave to money. I am no longer a slave to my anxiety. I am no longer a slave to my anger. I am no longer a slave to my jealousy. I am no longer a slave to me trying to look nice so that I'm not embarrassed. I'm no longer a slave. I have been set free. The very bondage that comes from you surrendering to the voice of love that has been poured out into you by God is called freedom. And Paul learned it. He learned to listen into it. He learned to crave it. He learned to ask for it. He learned how to recognize it. And it started with him just saying, I'm ready. What do you have for me, God? Let me pray for us. It's your son. You sent your son to free us from all slavery, all bondage, and you gave us the gift of your Spirit that would come again and enslave our hearts to get to experience life. God, may we not miss that. May we not miss that. God, this is your church. We are your people. We need you. This world needs you through us. I beg of you, my God, that you would awaken your Spirit within us to bring life to our bodies, to bring life to this body, and to bring life to this world. We need you in your Son's name. Amen.